Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
By the way, side note, yesterday when Trenny was in here, I put up the traditional post-show guest host photo on my Instagram. And Wiggy, you had the crew pullover on yesterday.
I did.
Or hoodie.
Tommy Lee, Vince Neil,
and
Vicky Six.
On my DMs, several people suggested that there's no way that you can name three crew songs. So they were doubting your Motley Crue cred.
Huff a Teacher.
No.
Right out of the gate.
Is that not their song?
You stink. No, that's Van Halen.
Oh, that's Van Halen?
You buffoon.
What's the one when the video there?
Boom Bop.
The video?
Yeah, there's a video where there's a teacher in the Motley Crue video.
No, that's Van Halen.
Is that Van Halen? That's
think about their, they got a famous strip club song. You gotta be know that one.
Girls,
oh,
girls.
Oh, yeah, girls,
are
girls.
Are you?
That's
what
I was thinking
about. You can't
about.
Even name girls.
Yeah. Greg, CTE, come on.
What a fraud. He's fraudulent.
And COVID.
He is fraudulent. Well,
COVID fog.
I know three of them. I can't.
You're fraudulent.
Nikki Six, Tommy Lee, Vince Neil.
Yeah, everybody knows
What's
Tommy
the
Lee.
Third one?
Everybody knows. Everybody knows Tommy Lee because of what he was using to drive the boat that he and Pamela Anderson were on.
Girls.
It wasn't his hands. By the way, it's GPS? Not driving. It's piloting a boat. Yes. What?
What was their power ballot? They had a power ballot.
Home Sweet Home, you idiot.
Yes. Home Sweet Home.
All right.
I don't know the songs.
Anyway, I think we all agree.
You could have saved us 2 minutes if you just said that.
I think we all agree that it may be impossible to fill Danielle's Louboutins. However, we are doing our best to search for some hopefuls who may be able to fill Danielle's seat. And I want to welcome Tanya Ray Fox to the studios here this morning from Los Angeles. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Fantastic. Now,
this is the first time I've done media in Boston in almost eight years.
In 8 years.
So I mean, I've been covering Boston sports, but I haven't been here. So this is exciting.
You're from Plymouth?
I'm from Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Yep.
From Plymouth. Tell me a little bit about your career path. Like, how did you get to Los Angeles?
So out of college, I interned at Comcast Sportsnet New England, and that luckily turned into a job.
Yeah.
And I was there for 3-ish years, and then ended up, it was kind of plateauing. There's not a ton of room for growth because Boston, as big of a media hub as it is, there's only so many spots.
Right.
And so I was like, all right.
And they're all taken by old men.
Old white
men. You were running coffee for Tangway, which is like the lowest of the low.
Okay. I graduated from running coffee for Tangway and Tommy Heinsohn into being an assignment editor there.
Okay.
But I just wanted to go somewhere else. And I got a seasonal job at the NFL Network. And it was one of those like, can you be out here in 3 weeks? And I was like, guess so.
Yeah.
So I drove my Hyundai Elantra with my stepdad across the country with what I could fit in it. And then that's where I've been ever since. So I did the seasonal gig there. Great. Loved it. Good experience. And then I kind of bounced around out there. I covered the Lakers a bit at digital, in a digital like producer role.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally kind of hit the jackpot and was writing for like years, which is something I wanted to do forever. And I wrote for a while. And of course, because I'm in media and we're all fickle. I was like, you know what? I'm sick of like having to work from home and I need to be back in the studio around people. So I got a job at Fox Sports and I've been working with them, but now I'm working from home.
Okay. Now you're back to working from home.
Yeah. Now I'm working from home.
Do you like Los Angeles?
I do like Los Angeles.
I can't stand it.
I know.
I cannot stand it.
And actually don't blame people who feel that way either.
It's the body shaming. I mean, everybody looks fantastic out there, and then they look at me, and their eyes go in a different direction. Their eyes are askew because I have a dad bod, which, by the way, happens to be, I don't know if you know it or not, it happens to be most desired by women right now.
According to
science, the dad bod is in.
I love L.A. I can't get adjusted to the time, but I do love In-N-Out Burger.
You do?
Oh, have you ever ate an In-N-Out Burger?
I do love In-N-Out Burger. Yeah.
Animal style.
You like the animal style?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
In-N-Out is the only fast food I'll do out there is In-N-Out. Mm-hmm. And sometimes Jack in the Box. I don't know if you guys have ever done Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
Curly fries.
We used to have a Jack in the Box here. When I was growing up, it was over by Shopper's World. It was like the only fast food place in Natick when I was growing up.
Pretty good.
So you like Los Angeles, though?
I do. So I visited there like maybe a year and a half before I moved out. I didn't even know I was going to move out there. And I felt like you guys did. Like, I was kind of like, I can't really get a grip on this because I'm from a smaller city that has like a real identity. Mm-hmm. And LA doesn't have that. Like, you're used to places like Miami has an identity. Chicago has an identity. Boston, New York. Like, you go there and there's a vibe. And LA is so big and sweeping and everybody is not from there. Like, nobody that's in L.A. is from L.A.
Right.
So it doesn't have that same, like, oh, I know what it feels like to be in L.A. It's all little neighborhoods. You have to get used to it. So when I moved there, then I started to get a sense of what neighborhoods worked for me and, like, what vibe I wanted to be in L.A. And I'm a beach vibe.
Okay.
I'm a West Side beach vibe. So once I figured that out, it was much more enjoyable.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is, of the four professional teams here in our beloved city, which is your favorite?
The Patriots.
The Patriots.
Yeah. Why? I'm NFL and football, like, all the way. Yeah.
So I will ask you to weigh in on the question that will never be answered on sports radio. Bill or Tom?
So I have been noticing that people are afraid to answer this question. Mm-hmm. Or they do they're both great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know they're both great. That's not the question, right? And I'm stalling because this is going to be definitive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is going to be definitive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is not even a question. In football, there is no one player important enough, not one, not even the quarterback, to say that they could be greater than the greatest coach.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
And here's I'm going to give you an example.
Curtis is going to fall over in his chair.
Yeah, I just started drinking.
I'm going to give you a little example, something to think about here. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady is the GOAT quarterback. I have no doubts about that. I'm biased about it. I grew up in New England. I grew up a Patriots fan. But he's the GOAT. However, you have to consider the fact that is Tom Brady 5 Super Bowl wins better than Peyton Manning? Is he 6 Super Bowl wins better than Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees? Is he that much better than those players as a quarterback that we should be giving him in credit for a 20-year dynasty?
No.
You can't say that.
I like your thinking.
You can't.
I like where you're going with this.
I don't think that Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees would have won 6 Super Bowls and gone to 9 with Bill Belichick. I do think that was a match made in heaven because they are GOATs together. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Bill Belichick would have won 6 rings without Brady. But those other quarterbacks would have won like 3 or 4. Come on. Mm-hmm. He built 20 years of sustained success. He never wasted a year of Tom Brady, except for the final year.
Well, the six
never wasted a year.
That's right.
There's one issue with your argument, Tanya, and he had some seasons where there was no success, that being 2000. 2008, the team won 7 fewer games than they did the year before. And
oh my God.
Last season, they were awful. So Bill Belichick's been a head coach without Tom Brady for, I believe, 7 full seasons. He's won 1 playoff game. Tom Brady left Bill Belichick in 1 season, went to the Bucs, who hadn't been to the playoffs since 2006, and won 4 playoff games and won the Super Bowl. And there is a reason why Aaron Rodgers isn't as good. He's on Jeopardy. Peyton Manning was all in on these stupid chicken parm ads. Like, they prioritized the wrong things, and that's why Brady wins.
I said they wouldn't have won 6 Super Bowls for them. That's what I said. I didn't say they would have done as well. I said, is he that much better than other first ballot Hall of Fame quarterbacks? If we're going to put these guys in first ballot Hall of Fame, we have to compare them in a fair way, and we can't say that Brady is so much better that there's just nothing else, that he just carried an entire team to Super Bowl. That's just completely impossible.
But how do you then explain Tom going to the Buccaneers and winning it right away?
Well, first of all, he picked a team stacked. That was a team with, like, they were top 5 defensive DVOA the year before.
Correct.
They had an amazing offensive line already and added to it in the offseason. They had all the receivers. Like, he went to a team he knew he could win with. That wasn't like he didn't go and create a, like, I mean, he turned them essentially. They were a quarterback away from being Super Bowl contenders, and they got the GOAT and became Super Bowl contenders. That's why he went there.
She's good, Greg.
Yeah, you're happy.
Why were they Jacksonville?
Why were they not even the favorite to get out of the NFC then when he signed there? If that was all true,
because nobody knew what a 43-year-old quarterback would look like. I mean, everybody's afraid.
Or it's that the Bucs are the worst franchise in the history of professional sports.
I think there were a lot of people that had them winning a championship when Brady got there, based on what you're saying, that they had a ton of talent. You put Brady into the equation there. There were a lot of people that said this team should win the Super Bowl. This team should get to the NFC Championship game. This team should win the division. So I think there were a lot of people out there in just the media who felt like the addition of Brady put this team in a position where they could make a lot of noise. And, you know, fortunately, their defense played well in the playoffs, and they were able to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, just like they had many times when he was on the Patriots. A lot of times.
What do you want to see Bill do at quarterback?
I think he should draft and start Cam Newton.
Start Cam.
Who
do you want to see him draft?
I'm going to be honest. I am not the best college football analyst, nor is anybody on the planet. Anybody who acts like they know who's going to work in the NFL at quarterback is full of it. It's a complete crapshoot. Of course, Trevor Lawrence is the best option. He's going to go first. The rest of it, we could sit here and debate for hours and never land on the right answer. Because as we've seen in the past, even just last year with Justin Herbert, we don't know what we're talking about. Based on what I know, I think the best option is Justin Fields.
Okay.
Wow. I'm right.
So he's coming for Wiggy's.
Wow.
Yeah. Start Cam and
language.
Draft Justin Fields.
Am I moving in on your spot?
No, you're speaking my language.
Okay. All right, good.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
you're working the room.
Speaking my language.
You're just the only person you've upset so far is Curtis.
Yeah. Well, there we go. That's the aim.
Keep it up.
That's okay.
Well done.
Tanya Ray Fox is here. Guest host week continues right now. Ken Laird to tell you what is trending.
Serving New England for nearly 30 years. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Subaru of New England, the love, Springland is here. Complete details, find your authorized retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. And the big draft news yesterday, draft-related news, Carolina could be out of the mix at the 8th pick for a rookie quarterback because they have traded for Sam Darnold. Second-round pick, Wiggy. Next year, fourth next year, sixth this year.
It looks like they're out. I mean, let's be honest. It looks like they're not in the market for a quarterback.
And we are to assume that Bill had no interest in Sam Darnold.
No. Nope. Not at all.
Or the Jets wouldn't trade with Bill. It's possible.
Yeah, maybe.
This is a perfect. The dominoes are falling right in place for Belichick.
Okay, we shall see. Carolina still has Teddy Bridgewater, and maybe he'll be moved next. Red Sox get a win last night, 11-2 over the Rays. Finally, a W. 16 hits, 5 for extra bases. Hill Dog, you weren't there. No coincidence.
I was not there, but Curtis tells me that somebody was there in the suite last night.
Uh-oh. In the Odyssey suite.
In the Odyssey suite at Fenway, which may throw the entire guest host audition search into question. Is that correct?
Untoward behavior by Ken Laird.
Who was in the suite last night?
The one and only Coco, Courtney Cox.
What? Whoa.
Well, fair and balanced. I mean, Mega was my pick, so, I mean.
Did you lose my number? I would have gone.
Laird, this is outrageous. Have you presented the opportunity to every candidate to attend a Red Sox game in the suite?
Well, here's what happened. You want the full story now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So Trenny was in, as you noted yesterday. She kind of did us a favor by coming in for maybe a little less than her market value. So I thought, okay, let's maybe offer some Red Sox tickets tonight. Dana, who controls the tickets here, said, yeah, we had a cancellation. So we reached out to Trenny. She said, thanks for the offer. I can't go tonight. So Dana said, why don't you ask one of the other guest hosts? So the only way to do it is to go in chronological order of their appearance.
Well, that would be Mego. Mego was right in here.
And I offered them Mego, and she couldn't go.
Oh, so this is BS. You said, way to leave out the most important portion of this.
Well, then I moved on to Courtney Cox.
But if it were up to you, Mego would have been in the suite.
Well, yeah, but she was the first one in.
Unbelievable.
In hindsight, I probably should have offered them to our guest today, since she's in from out of town. That would
have
been nice.
Sorry, Tanya. We may have to redo the entire process. We have to throw the polling out.
Yep.
Honestly, this is like finding 150,000 mail-in votes on a Thursday night. You are favoring one candidate over the other.
There was only a pair of tickets. What was I supposed to do? I'd be favoring anybody by default at that point.
Why'd you give her a pair? Why don't you invite two of the contestants to come with
like
each
together?
Other?
It'd be like a cat fight in the suite.
Let them fight it out in the suite.
You're complaining about somebody just stepping in and eliminating whatever your person down there is in Georgia. They just bring some guy in.
I mean, what
you're
about
doing the same thing?
And what about a little diversity in the suite? Wiggy and one of his kids would have loved to have gone.
Well, guys, Dana said offer to a guest host.
I'm going to say, I hate to break it to you, but this is not the most scandal that any of the women who've come in here to audition for have ever dealt with. Like, this isn't going to break up your search. We're all going to be able to handle it. Yeah, 100%.
We've been strong.
We've really gone through so much worse. I promise you.
All right. Yeah.
But Tanya probably has dirt on the other candidates. We got to get that because Tangway's been feeding her all kind of stuff. I'm like, how to submarine the rest of the field.
We got to get to Wiggy's five questions. Yes. You have five questions.
I do.
We'll do that coming up.
All right. Red Sox win. They're back at it tonight. 7:10 first pitch. And don't miss Alex Cora's first interview with OMF. 2:30 today. 2:30 Cora with OMF. Martin Perez, your starter tonight. All-Star Game in baseball headed to Coors Field in Denver. Curtis is triggered. Bruins losing overtime to the Flyers. Travis Sanheim's breakaway winner around Patrice Bergeron, who lost an edge. We'll do it again tonight, 7 o'clock
nice
in Philly.
Yeah.
Celtics host the Sixers tonight at 7:30, so it's a Philly-Boston doubleheader tonight. Hockey and hoops. Baylor beats Gonzaga 86-70 to win their first-ever college title, and Wiggy is defending Paul Pierce, who was let go by ESPN after strippers, smoking, poker, and drinking at his IG live stream over the weekend.
Did my man wrong. He's just living his life. You can't live your life and work. So you want to live your life outside of work. Now you want to go to social media and be like, yo, here's how I'm living my life.
Well, would you guess that ESPN was bothered by the strippers or by smoking weed? Or both?
Good question.
I mean,
they can't be bothered by the strippers. We know their sexual background at ESPN.
maybe it was
toxic environment over there.
Maybe it was the illegal gambling. They were not playing poker in an authorized casino during a pandemic.
Well, how do you know they were playing for money?
It was Boo-Ray.
I mean, they were just using chips. You know, when you play poker, you got to use chips. Mm-hmm. They sell chips in the store.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show.
She would never say.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Yesterday don't matter if it's gone. While the sun is bright, or in the darkest night, no one knows. She comes and goes. Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you when you change with every new day? Still, I'm gonna miss you.
It is guest host week number 3, and Tanya Rae Fox is here, a local girl from Plymouth. And working in Los Angeles.
Yes, sir.
And you have already enraged Chris Curtis by saying that it was all Bill Belichick and no Tom Brady.
No, get out of here.
I have it on tape.
coming up, Wiggy asks every candidate 5 questions, so we'll get to those in a moment. And then we'll see how you do on the news. Have you ever, have you ever been a news reader?
Not since college.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, where'd you do that? College?
Yeah.
College radio station?
Didn't even do the radio station. It was like news reading in classes. Broadcast journalism classes.
Where'd you go to college?
I did until my middle of my junior year. I went to Merrimack College.
Merrimack.
And then I transferred to Bridgewater State.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. This is David. Hello, David.
Hi, good morning, everyone. So, Miss Tanya.
Yes.
I cannot believe that you actually, welcome to the show to be in, whatever it is, okay? But I'm just a little taken back of the fact that you're saying that Tom Brady was Super Bowls and the reason he went down to Tampa was because they had a great team. With Tom Brady, and you're saying he was better, I mean, that he's not as good as Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning, sort of. The reason Tom Brady won the seventh Super Bowl is because he actually got to do at that game what he could not do in the two Super Bowls that he lost.
David, listen, let me clarify. I did not say that those other quarterbacks were better than Brady. I think I specifically clarified Brady's the GOAT.
Yes.
And that he won more Super Bowls with the Patriots than any of those guys would have. Just that he is not great enough to be to break the 50-50 split with Belichick.
Correct.
That's all.
Right.
That's all I'm saying to give credit to somebody who sustains a team for 20 years personnel-wise and makes some pretty difficult coaching decisions, whereas Tom Brady, I just don't, no matter what quarterback it would be, they're never going to succeed the coach in this situation.
Somebody has to be 51%.
Somebody has to be 51%. You guys, you know.
Do you think it's 51% or do you think it's more than that when it comes to Bill?
I would say it's 55%. 55-45.
Okay.
Yeah. 10-point swing, yeah.
That's reasonable.
Is that okay with you, Chris?
Mm-hmm. I think it's great. Tanya's very nice. I don't want to start screaming at her.
Curtis, you can scream at me, Curtis. I promise. It's not going to freak me out.
Curtis has it at 99% Brady.
No, 100%. What are you talking about?
Sorry.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
I thought you were 1%. Run it again, Brady.
All right. You want to get to Wiggy's questions? Yes?
Yeah.
Are you looking at me? Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
All right, let's do it.
Number 5.
Thank you. Wiggy, what do you got?
All right, I always find this fascinating because in entertainment, I wonder if this is something that was done intentionally. The three names, Tanya Ray Fox, was that like something you did intentionally? Why not just go by like Tanya Ray or Tanya Fox? I like the three names. I wish I was like Jermaine something Wiggins.
What is your middle name?
Charles.
Ooh. Why don't you go with Jermaine Charles?
Oh, I do like that.
J.C. Wiggins.
I do like Jermaine Charles. Okay.
Right. Or you could do like an F. Lee Bailey thing and do J. Charles Wiggins.
Oh, I like that. It sounds like a lawyer.
Yeah, I actually like that.
That's a lawyer. I'd be like Tony Busby. Yeah. Private Jetson.
I'm going to call you J. Charles Wiggins from this moment forward.
I like that. Wiggs out.
What about J.C. Wiggy?
No, I like J. Charles Wiggins.
All right, J. Charles.
Yeah, so
sounds like a children's author.
The three names thing was not intentional. Okay. Well, it was intentional by my mom and my dad. Mm-hmm. Like my mom wanted to name me after her father, Raymond. So she decided that she didn't want Ray to be the middle name. She wanted it to be sort of like attached to the first name, but it's not hyphenated and it's not attached. It's, it's Tanya Ray, two separate words, but that's technically my first name, no middle name. Then Fox. So it was just, that's just how it went. I was always Tanya Ray Fox. And I go by Tanya in plenty of situations. But my mother insists my first name is Tanya Ray. I will say this. Something about the last name Fox, I think it's because it's short, demands the third name. Michael J. Fox.
Okay.
Vivica A. Fox.
All right.
Yeah. Tanya Ray Fox.
All right.
I think it's a good rhythm.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I like it. Okay.
Number 4.
Now, we always like to ask people, you know, what some of their favorite things are on the show. And one for me is big favorite music. Do you have, like, a favorite music genre?
That's never been one for you. That's my question.
I know, you're just stealing
you
Greg's questions.
About?
God, getting lazy.
I'm the one who always asks the questions.
You're borrowing questions from other people now. How hard is it to come up with 5 of your own questions?
What are the next 3?
Wait, were you watching the national championship, mailing this thing in this morning?
Like, voter ID question 3?
What do you think about Brady and Belichick?
You've never once asked the music question.
I ask about Megan Thee Stallion, Cardi B, what music I asked.
All right, fine. Take my questions. It's so lazy. But okay, go ahead.
Wow.
Who's your favorite artist?
I was so definitive on my Brady Belichick. I set myself up for failure here. I just really like a lot. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to change the rules and just tell you, like, maybe my 3 favorite concerts I've been to.
Okay.
Maybe that gives you, like, a better idea of my sense of music,
That's
right?
Fine. Yeah.
So we'll start at 3rd. My third best concert was Pearl Jam in Seattle.
Okay.
So I'm really, I like all rock going all the way back. But obviously a lot of them are older, a little out of their prime. Like I've seen The Who, and I've seen older rock bands when I was younger and they were still together. But that's the new sort of like 90s is where I kind of stopped my rock genre.
Yeah.
So Pearl Jam in Seattle, you can't go wrong.
No, never.
I saw second was Fleetwood Mac at the Garden. I saw them the week after the Boston Marathon bombing, and my mom and I went into the city. Fleetwood Mac, we had like crap kind of like up in the balcony type tickets. And we were excited because I had never seen Fleetwood Mac, one of my mom's favorite bands. We grew up listening to music together. You know, she's like my musical muse, right? Mm-hmm. So we have these crap tickets, and the people, but we don't care. We're pumped. We're dancing. We're partying. And the people behind us are the don't stand up and dance people.
Oh. Mm.
They want you to sit down so they can see.
They keep saying sit down the whole time during the concert.
They want to sit.
I hate that.
Which is crazy behavior. Right. That's crazy behavior at a rock concert.
Yeah.
So they complained, and then the ushers gave us way better seats.
Oh wow, that's pretty good then. That's worked out for you.
And it was great. It was an amazing night in the city. It felt really good to be out in the city, sort of like everything had gone horribly wrong, and I'd been on lockdown because I lived near the bomber. And it was like this really nice way to, and like Fleetwood Mac.
Great.
The whole band, it was amazing. And then the number one is Billy Joel at the Garden.
Oh, all right. Huh?
Okay. Billy Joel at the Garden. I got I don't know if you guys know, the infamous Billy Joel, you get picked to go to the front row treatment. You guys hear about, you know he does this at his concerts?
I'm sure he does.
He does.
You don't it's like have Rihanna, he brings him on stage.
You don't have to tell us what you have to do to get that.
No, yes, sure. He always leaves the front row open and has his, like the ushers bring people down who, because he wants.
People or women?
There
was one dude there.
One
jealous boyfriend who insisted on going with his chick.
Greg, it's
a guy. Greg, it's actually what Ken does with the EEI suite.
However,
Ken put Courtney Cox in the front row last night at the WEI.
That's exactly
it was just a raffle.
Better than you and Slosh. God. Better pump for EEI.
But I will say, it was front row at the Garden. It's the best I've ever gotten. Billy Joel, one of my number one guys, one of my favorite artists ever. And I got to sing into his microphone. He put it down. Wow. He put it down into the audience. I got to sing right into it. Wow. So that's my number one. So that will give you a little idea of where I'm at, right? Musically. Yes. Okay, great.
My
number three.
My best concert, J. Charles Wiggins, the rapper. All right.
Who knew Billy Joel was bringing women down and throwing them on stage?
Yeah, who knew that?
I don't know. Piano man.
Nice job, Wes.
You know more about him than Motley Crue.
Yeah, really. I do. Yeah, well, I like them both. So I love to ask this question because I feel like I get to know a person when I ask this question. One night out partying, you can hang out with one celebrity, dead or alive. Who's that person?
Dead or alive? Well, I'm going to go alive because it's more fun to think about this potentially happening, right? So it has to be someone who will drink.
Right.
Because I'm a drinker. Like, I'm not, that makes it sound like I'm an alcoholic.
What's your beverage of choice?
Beverage of choice when I'm out partying is always vodka.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a vodka on the rocks, throw some lime
in
there.
I'm a Ciroc guy.
Yeah, Ciroc.
Yeah.
I like it to do a Belvedere.
Okay.
Or something to that effect.
Grey Goose is good, too.
Grey Goose is good, absolutely. So
when you ask for a Ciroc, when we went to the Capitol Burger opening, and the server looked at him like what? What? Nobody's ordered Ciroc since 1997.
Yeah, that's definitely that's like a early 2000s vibe.
I love the Ciroc.
Yes. They still have it. It's still around. Okay, great. Well, that's great. Good to know.
I do love flavored Ciroc.
J. Charles Wiggins wants a Ciroc on the rocks.
Yes, I prefer the coconut, but go ahead.
Okay, anyway, who would it be?
So I'm drinking my vodka, my glass of vodka, and I think. Okay, I'm going to go. So I've been really into WWE lately.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe it's a pandemic thing. I've just gotten really into WWE. And
strike two. Go ahead.
My God, they're keeping score. So I'm thinking, like, I want to go with someone who has a lot of stories.
Okay.
Who's kind of like they'll get a little crazy, they'll drink, they'll party, but like they're not trying to go too hard. Like, we're gonna share stories. We're gonna bond.
Right. Ric Flair.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Still around, by the way.
Oh, yes,
he is not
yes.
going away.
No, he's not.
For the love of God.
He's well pickled.
So I think
he's
I'm going.
The Rock.
I think I got to go with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. He's a drinker. He likes to talk. He likes to tell stories. He's got a hidden, there's a little bit of a hidden freak in there. Like, okay. You can tell he still has some prime left in him. That's waiting to
it's
come out.
It's a wild
out.
One. You might be fighting at the end of the night with Stone Cold.
Which, isn't that would be amazing.
That is a great night.
I'll be stunned. I don't care.
Okay.
Number two.
All right. Now, this one is for Greg. I always ask this one. You're on death row, your last meal.
Okay. It's just a bunch of Italian carbs, just Italian carbs. So I'm going to go. All right, I have to choose my. I'm going to go a bolognese, a bucatini bolognese, because I like how it holds the sauce in the bucatini.
Vino rosso.
pork and beef meatballs.
Ooh.
But then also garlic bread, and then a. Like a one of those huge, I forget what they're called, just like a, I don't even know what those are, the big things of wine. But I don't want it in a wine bottle. Mm-hmm. I want it in the decanter.
Mm.
You know, like just so it looks sort of Game of Thronesy, uh-huh. Like a big jug of wine. So I think that's
Game of Thrones fan?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's your all-time favorite television series drama?
Lost.
Lost? Mm. Wow. Mm. Really?
Yeah, I was into Lost.
And were you?
Yeah, I was, but then it, like, took a weird turn.
Yeah, that's
like
the whole, that was the point
but
of the
like
whole
season
thing.
Five.
Yeah. It was supposed to take a
no,
weird
no, 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 but this turn.
A, Wiggy's right.
Yeah, this
what?
Was like
it
a
fell
weird,
off
the cliff. Yeah, this
it
one
was
fell
like Brady,
off the
right
cliff.
Off
yeah,
the cliff.
It was,
I think people, no. a lot of people go back and watch that a second time, and they really enjoy that.
No.
You didn't like
no,
that?
The ending was terrible.
I liked it.
Yeah, it was.
The final episode was a disaster.
It went way left. I was like, why are we doing this here, man?
Were you able to keep it in your pants during Lost, unlike the contestant search that we have going on, Ken?
You're wanting to talk.
All right. Hold on.
Number one.
All right. So for you say L.A. is where you're at now. So if I'm going out to L.A., where's the best place for me to go kick it and potty?
Oh, to kick it and party.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so I'm a...
How is this an information about Tanya?
You know, if possible, these questions are getting worse. Not better.
No, that's not bad.
I thought they were
going to
get
good
better.
Question.
That's
from
good
L.A.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going out to L.A., I like to party. You know, hey, they don't... Cam Newton don't call me the turn up king for no reason. My wife and I, we get out, we get it in. So when I'm going to L.A., I want to know where we go. Get it in means we like to party.
Oh, first. Okay. I don't know. I haven't partied in a while.
Okay.
So I haven't partied in Los Angeles in 14 months.
Okay.
So this is outdated information,
or
perhaps.
Pre-pandemic. That's
pre-pandemic.
Fine.
We're West Side people, so we're beach cities people.
Okay.
Santa Monica, Venice, you know, like the mm-hmm. whole the whole beach vibe. And the best sort of like if you want to turn up, you're out of town, you're looking for good looking people, good drinks, good ambiance. You got to be outside, of course, right? There's going to be the outside vibe. If you're inside mm-hmm. in L.A., everything's wrong. So I'm going to go to the bungalow in Santa Monica.
Okay.
Yeah. The bungalow is like it's got like a big tree in the middle of it. There's like lights outside everywhere. Everyone there is good looking and ready to like party. But it's chill enough that you're not screaming over like. Disco music or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, that's your vibe.
Right. Okay,
yeah.
Sounds good.
This is Mike. Hello, Mike.
Good morning, morning crew.
What's happening, Michael?
Well, I do like a Brit Baldessari, but I got to tell you that this girl is, she is raking it in, man.
Oh.
She is, she's got a great vibe. I've tried not to be recency biased like Rich Keefe.
Yes.
But I will say that I like the flow.
All right, give me.
I really like the flow.
As it stands right now, give me your top three. In order.
My top three in order. All right. All right. Hold on. Ready for this.
Yeah.
Tanya Ray Fox.
Yeah.
Britt Baldessari.
Yeah.
And Mago.
And Mago.
Thanks, Mike. Oh. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No.
That's pretty
this,
good.
This is Bill. Hello, Bill.
Good morning, man.
What's up, Bill?
That was Mike.
Bill, listen to him.
Bill.
Yeah, she's got a great vibe.
Bill, turn your radio down. What? Do people not know to turn your radio down? I mean, you don't work in radio.
No, but yeah. I've never worked in radio.
But you know
the rules.
Turn your radio down when you call. It's
you guys do have I've noticed your callers do have sometimes I'm like, what, does nobody in this area have service on their phone?
It's
everybody's going through a tunnel.
It's something weird that happens.
Yeah, it's the governor. Governor did something.
Tamping down on the phone signals?
Well, he shut down all the businesses, so he figured he shut down the cell signals.
Something's going wrong with the cell signals COVID. On your collars. It's awful.
My hair's on fire about the whole thing.
You can spread COVID through cell phones.
But, I mean, what a relief it is that the CDC has determined you don't have to disinfect any surfaces anymore. Isn't that good news?
That's great
news. Soap. You don't need the Clorox wipes anymore.
You don't need them anymore.
Just old school, yeah. They recommend soap.
How much would you guess the average person spent on Clorox wipes or disinfectant over the last 13 months at the direction of the federal and state authorities?
Nobody could find any. Not that much. Curtis gave me a canister, and I've been in debt for a year.
Ken?
You sure act
Ken?
Like
Ken, do you not think it is a tad bit frustrating that today, this was my lead, by the way, at the start of the show at 6:15 this morning, that today, suddenly, the CDC has determined that disinfecting surfaces is useless in the prevention of the coronavirus. Meanwhile, people have got a second mortgage on their home so they can buy wipes. As Curtis said, people have killed each other in the pursuit
Have people, though, because I couldn't even get the wipes when I wanted them.
Correct.
So I kind of got saved all that problem.
Well, you know what?
It was never available.
You could have got wipes if the CDC didn't tell you that you had to disinfect everything.
I think they
were
just, better safe than sorry. You know?
That's how they do these things? Better safe than sorry?
Yeah, well, when there's a new pandemic, you kind of have to be like, well, we could get this anywhere or nowhere, but we're going to have to count on the first.
There are still packages outside that people haven't touched yet because they scared everybody. Don't touch your mail. As soon as you touch your mail, you'll be dead in 6 hours.
Remember Dr. Boney said that he would let his groceries sit in the hallway for an hour?
Yes. No.
That's a little much.
Ken was disinfecting his mail. Ken didn't open up a letter for the first 6 months of this.
One of us got COVID and one of us did not.
Yes, that's true.
You still smell exhaust every day.
I do.
Things smell good to me.
That's what you get for opening your mail, Greg.
Yeah, that's what caused it. It was the opening of the mail that did it to me. All right.
Don't you have a guy for that?
Dr. Fauci said preheat the oven at 175 degrees and let it sit in there for 7 hours.
There's no evidence behind those comments.
I think it's weird that the first time Curtis Ken came out of his lair in 14 months, it was to go to a Red Sox game with Courtney Cox.
I didn't go to the game. Come on.
I think that's
I made that explicitly clear. I will not be attending the game with you.
Sox play tonight.
That is a little. How many times did you have to text her before she texted back?
She loved it.
Do the Sox play tonight?
Of course they do.
Tanya will be at the game with Ken tonight.
The only way to go is for you and I to get a quick bite at the bleacher bar.
I didn't go to the game.
Who's this before she finally responds?
Who this?
I give her disinfectant.
This is Ken. She's like, Ken, who?
I thought I blocked your number.
Courtney, this is Ken.
I don't know a Ken.
A couple Red Sox tickets happened to come my way. landed on my desk. I don't know if you're doing anything tonight. But all right. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll see how Tanya does with the news coming up next.
Get ready.
Ready to go.
We're back to more The Greg Hill Show on EEI. It's time for the news.
With respect to that particular snarky comment.
Without Danielle.
The gal who does, who works on the air with, on EEI with, did I just space on his name?
Brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, specializing in men's sexual health.
Nobody can let me just exit gracefully. Nobody.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, Danielle, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, it is guest host week number 3 on this show, and today it is Tanya Ray Fox. Tomorrow it is Alexander Francisco from Nesson, and Thursday it is Paul Pierce, formerly of ESPN.
Great get by you.
That's a hell of a one.
Dipping into your Rolodex.
Just a reminder that at Northeast Men's Health, they are now offering Soundwave therapy and other ED treatments with success rates as high as 90%. You can learn more at northeastmenshealth.com. And here is Tanya with today's news.
All right, here we go. We're kicking it off with new Boston Mayor Kim Janey has launched a new city slogan.
Oh.
The quote.
What was the old city slogan? Does anybody
I like them apples.
Hub of the universe.
Home of Tom Brady.
maybe it was. All right.
They had to change it up.
We have a new slogan for the city of Boston.
New slogan.
I can't wait. What is it?
It is the, quote, all-inclusive Boston, end quote, campaign.
Oh, okay.
It was launched to showcase Boston's diverse tourism assets across all Boston neighborhoods as part of a recovery initiative from COVID-19.
So today, I am proud to announce all-inclusive Boston. This campaign showcases Boston as a city with a new generation of diverse entrepreneurs, innovators, and artists. A city that is welcoming to everyone.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Yeah, that's interesting. The all-inclusive Boston campaign, but as a recovery initiative from COVID-19, I'm trying to connect the dots.
Well, what it is that the mayor decided to, if I remember correctly, to spend $2 million on infomercials that would run around the country to get people to come here when they can come here.
Right.
I mean, currently, right now, there are no hotels open.
No.
There are very little things, very, very few things that one could do. But we're priming the pump, Wiggy.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
I think they play them 3 a.m. in Riverside, California.
Is that where they run?
I haven't gotten them in L.A. No one's telling me to come to Boston yet.
Yeah, you're not up there. You got to be up at like 3 a.m.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
They should have gone with something else like Boston. There's nothing like our 2-hour commute.
That's gone now.
Boston, we close our bars at 1:30, so yeah, there's no fun for anybody.
Yeah, they could have went with that one.
Boston, bring your own flavored dip and vape cartridge, because we don't sell them here anymore.
Boston, we clean every street twice a day so we can charge you $500 for towing your car.
We haven't fixed the pothole in forever here in Boston, but come see us.
But we do have more bike lanes than any other city other
that
than Copenhagen. Maybe that's what they should have gone with. All right.
We could be the first city that truly recovers from COVID-19. Yeah.
Yes.
And people, when they start to travel again, come to Boston because our numbers are so low.
What a remarkable moron.
The old slogan was shelter in place. That was the old that was the old slogan. So now that's a texter who says. I mean, are there people who aren't coming to Boston because they think it's not an inclusive city at this point?
There was just an SNL skit over the weekend where they dropped Boston and racism.
It's still a big part of the city's reputation outside of Boston.
Do they say that to you?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there's even been some athletes I've talked to who've said they've had bad experiences in Boston. And I mean, I know that that's come up recently in the last few years, but even, you know, athletes who are retired who I've worked with.
Like who?
I don't necessarily want to throw anyone under the bus because they played here as well.
Yeah.
But just not that they don't like the city, but that there is this vibe of like, there are certain places you go where you just don't feel welcome. And my husband is biracial, so he's Mexican and white, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's loves Boston.
Right.
Loves Boston. You know, eventually we could move here like that. You know, he's all on board. But he's even felt some of the like coldness sometimes in certain places where people are like,
Wellesley.
It can sound nitpicky, right? It can sound nitpicky, like it's like, well, what does that mean?
Yeah,
and you only know. I mean, you only know unless you've been a minority in a place where you can tell you're being treated differently or unwelcome.
Yeah.
And you can either take that for, I mean, it doesn't make him not want to come to Boston.
Right.
It doesn't make him feel like he can't be here and safely be here. But the inclusiveness or the being used to seeing people who don't look like you is a little different in this area than it is in some other places. And that's fine. We're like, the city's gotten so much better, continues to get better. You know, that's all that really can be asked of the city, I think, as far as like making progress. And I've seen a ton of progress it doesn't need to be harped on, but it certainly exists.
And Ken, Dominique Wilkins lived in Dover. We were very diverse.
Dominique.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have a new slogan for the city of Boston. Very exciting. All right. What else is in the news?
Well, we're still on COVID-19. So Dr. Anthony Fauci says the U.S. federal government will not require a vaccine passport for Americans. Fauci's statement coincides with what White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said last week. Here is Fauci with the statement.
I do believe that there will be individual entities that will do that. There may be theaters that say you don't get in unless you have proof of vaccination. There may be colleges or other educational institutions that do that. I'm not saying they should or that they would, but I'm saying you could foresee how an independent entity might say, well, we can't be dealing with you unless we know you're vaccinated, but it's not going to be mandated from the federal government.
All right. Well, that's good news.
Is it, though? Like, imagine if your kid, in order for them to go to college, they have to be have a vaccine card.
Well, they're going to have to.
A lot of places already require you to be vaccinated to, like, go to, like, little kids have to be vaccinated sometimes to go to certain schools.
Yeah, but that's like measles and mumps vaccines that have been around for like 40 or 50 years.
Now, you pronounced his name Fauci at the start and then called him Fossey. Is that like a West Coast thing?
No, that's me hearing it too many times and having ADHD and just not knowing which button to stick with.
I like it. Yeah.
I thought maybe the California people, they called him Fossey.
Fossey, yeah.
Hey, Fossey.
Farrah Fossey.
I have no idea. Are you going to get the vaccine?
I think so. Yeah, I think I will. But I will say, I am waiting as long as possible. I'm not in the first wave anyway. Like I'm young and healthy, so I would be waiting regardless.
Yeah.
And I'm not on the front of the line or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I also do feel fine with waiting, and I'm fine with kind of like sticking in place, still masking and being careful and waiting it out just to see how everything goes. You know, we are not necessarily a family. Like, my mom is really scared about potentially getting it. There's been some stuff that have happened, like, in our family with certain medications and vaccines and things like that, where, you know, you get it and then it gets called back and there's all these awful side effects and it's pulled off the market. And that makes people scared of doing stuff like this, especially because this is by far the fastest vaccine we've ever developed, like by a lot.
The first wave is elderly and hypocrites like Ken who are getting their shots.
Right.
Prisoners.
Before everybody else. So, Wiggy, you think it's unfair for a college to ask a kid to be vaccinated in order to go there?
Well, it's like, you know, with my kids this year, right? In order for them to go to school, they had to get their flu shots. Like, I don't think that you should tell me what I need to put in my body or my kid's body in order for them to go to school. You know, I don't think it's right that you telling me in order to go see a movie, I got to be vaccinated. Like, that, to me, that just don't make sense. I feel like, are we living in like the 1930s? Like, in order to go somewhere, I gotta have, you know, are we gonna start drinking at vaccine water coolers and non-vaccinated water coolers? I mean, but seriously though, but this is what
a turn.
But seriously, this is like what you're telling me now. In order, if Fauci's saying schools, so in order for my kid to go to a college, I gotta now find a non-vaccine college.
We need a vaccination.
So it would be private institutions, right? Because you can't do that for public schools, public colleges, and stuff like that, right?
Well,
it would have to be.
I'm not sure.
I think that I would assume they could do whatever they want.
Interesting.
They tried to make it necessary to get the flu vaccine in order to go to schools.
Right. Greg, it is the 30s here at WEI because baseball is king.
But you don't find that
and
as
horse
a,
racing with mud.
Greg, you don't seem to find that as a problem.
Well, because I'm doing the best to try to be respectful of other people, which you obviously don't care anything about. But I am trying to. If everybody is suggesting that the best way for us to get out of this is to get the vaccine, then I'll get the vaccine. I mean, I just missed the 55 people. Did like 38, 39.
Yeah, I was
going to
go.
Like
I was going to go with.
It sounds
hard
like you're pandering a little bit.
You infected the whole Bruins roster.
Who would I be pandering?
So now it's like, well,
I've already had it. By the way,
no, I know that, but you're like, well, if they tell me to get the vaccine and everybody else is doing it, you know what? I'll do it.
Yeah, because I'm respectful of other people.
So if you don't do it, you're disrespecting. You're disrespecting other people. If you choose, like, I don't really want to put something in my body that I'm unsure of. I don't really want to get vaccinated. You know, just maybe I just don't want to get vaccinated because there are some people that conspiracy theorists and going, what are they really trying to do?
You just told us you like Ciroc.
What's that got
you're
to do with
it? You're willing to put that on your body?
Yeah, that's different, though.
Wait, I think you
I mean, alcohol is different. I know that if I get, you know what, if I, you know, drink some Ciroc, I'm not going to grow a third arm out of the back of my neck.
Imagine the, honestly.
You don't
imagine,
know that, though.
Imagine the tight end.
That might be helpful. You could scratch your back.
Imagine the tight end you could have been if you had three arms.
Might have been able to block.
Well, no, it was pretty good.
Imagine
anyways.
How many 8x10s you could autograph and give away if you had three arms.
Well, that is true. I guess, you know what.
Imagine the things you could do at the same time. Mm-hmm. If you had three arms, geez.
I don't need three to do that. All I need is one. I mean, we're going to have to do like we did back in the day. You know what? They started HBCUs. Now we're going to have to start non-vaccine colleges for all the kids.
Wiggy, I would say that your point would be a lot better received if you began it by saying, I'm J. Charles Wiggins, and this is my thought on vaccines.
And I approve this message.
Come to my university. You don't have to be vaccinated.
Right. This is the J. Charles Wiggins report.
Right.
And then you have the teletype.
Talk about gravitas.
You have the teletype noise in the background. And now, 60 seconds with J. Charles Wiggins.
And that's how it is.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what. Greg's like, hey, if the rest of the country, if this is what they're telling me to do, I guess what they're telling you, with that vaccine, I'm going to punch you in the face, too. That helps with the spread of it.
What was the Paul Harvey thing on the radio forever?
Good day. He used to say, I'm Paul Harvey. Good
day. He'd say, I'm Steve Harvey.
That's the rest of the story.
Not Steve Harvey. Paul Harvey. God. Hello, Justin.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
What's up?
Wiggy.
Yo.
Man, come on, bro. Don't you think that after what we've gone through over the past 14 months, it's worth it to maybe decide that you're going to let go a little bit of your freedom and just do what's the right thing for the betterment of the public welfare? How do you not see that?
No. But listen, if you get vaccinated, then that's good for you. I don't need to get vaccinated if I don't feel like I should. But I shouldn't have to, in order to go to a movies, need to be vaccinated. You know, I should still be able to say, hey, what? You know, like anything else, I'm risking going to the movies. I'm risking going to, you know, college without not being vaccinated. I'm the one at risk if I don't get vaccinated, not the people who are getting vaccinated. But you're telling me if I don't, I can't go to college. I can't go here.
Do you ever get a flu shot?
No.
What about measles and you go back in for your distemper vaccination or whatever it is?
Nah, they haven't got measles in what, 30 years? I mean, you know, think about
Well, how do you think they eliminated it?
Well, I know
of the vaccines, you bobo.
I understand that, but how much research was behind the measles vaccine?
None. They winged it.
Okay. All right. Well,
COVID-19.
Longer to develop, I guess.
We're just wondering where polio went.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, like, when you're getting vaccinated, you're participating in the social contract of protecting everybody around you, right? Mm-hmm. And there has to be a certain amount of people who participate in that. So what you have to do is you have to, like, if you're comfortable doing it, you got to do it. And if you're not, then you protect yourself and others in other ways. And right. That's how you got to do it. And whether or not, you know, whether or not businesses and things like that are going to allow you in if you're vaccinated or not, like, that's an immediate precaution. Before, we're not even out of this thing. Like, it's still floating around. There's still potential for all these variants.
We're in the seventh inning.
All right, so
we're in the end zone.
It's variant overtime.
So if that's
it's variant overtime. So I don't know. You gotta wait. We're close, guys. We're not gonna be living in this life till 2023.
So coronavirus is gonna be gone in 3 years,
or something else will happen.
It's never gonna be gone.
Right. So then that means every single year you're gonna have to get vaccinated.
Wiggy,
what about Rinderpest?
Wiggy, 15 days to slow the spread.
We've had pandemics before, gone through extreme precautions after the fact,
right,
and gone back to normal. And that's what's going to happen. It's just that everybody nowadays wants to get you worked up about life never going back to normal and wants us all to be losing our minds. And it's fine. Everybody acts like this is the most unprecedented thing that's ever happened. Pandemics have happened before when conditions were much worse and we knew less about the stopping the spread of disease. We're going to be fine.
You don't have to school J. Charles Wiggins on the history of pandemics.
Well,
I'll tell you that much.
I want to make sure that you get vaccinated every year. Don't just get vaccinated the first 2 years and be like, oh, you know what? I'm not going to get vaccinated. No.
Good point, J. Charles.
Here's Bob. Bob is on your side, I think. Hello, Bob.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, Wiggy, man. I usually don't agree a lot of stuff you say, but I got to stay with you on this one, man. I don't take the flu shot. I don't take it at all. I wear my mask. I'm not taking a shot. I believe it's individual. If you want to take it, that's good for you. If I'm not going to take it, that should be good for me. I don't like when people say we have to take a shot to get into the movie or to go see a baseball game. Unfortunately, I think that's the way it's going to go, and that's the sad part. And if that's the way it's going to go, I'm thinking about taking a shot with you, but I want to do it later until I think the vaccine is safer. So for right now, I'm not taking it. So I definitely agree with you. Thank you.
Interesting. This is Bill. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Greg. How you doing?
What's going on?
So I'm trying to get my head around this. So
I don't know if you guys have gone on the CDC website or not, but if you go on to the homepage of the CDC website, it says that the vaccines are totally safe and effective. If you drill down a little bit to the VAERS part of it, which is the adverse reactions,
yes,
there's been over 2,500 deaths caused by the vaccine so far, and most of those have been within 48 hours of getting the vaccine. These are people and families and doctors calling in that are saying, hey, you know, be careful. My loved ones or my patients have actually died from this. And then there's a whole another 20,000 people that have been hospitalized, have been severely injured. So my point is why would a college kid, a college student who has literally 0% chance of dying from the vaccine risk dying from the virus, I'm sorry, risk their risk their health by taking the vaccine, which really isn't a vaccine. It's an emergency use gene therapy that has not been FDA tested. It has not been animal tested. Nobody knows anything about this. Mm-hmm. Nobody in the mainstream media is reporting anything about these deaths or these injuries. Nobody knows anything.
Correction, J. Charles Wiggins is.
That is correct.
One of America's preeminent journalists.
You're absolutely right. But why would you risk that? You have more. If you're under 30 years old or 40 years old, you have a more chance of getting an adverse reaction from the vaccine than you do from getting the vaccine. And by the way, Greg, you have immunity, but they still want you to take the vaccine,
right?
Which I've heard from doctors is super dangerous when you take the vaccine on top of being immune. So,
really?
Okay. I have
diplomatic immunity. Mm. That's what I have.
Yeah. Why can't
I mean, I just don't understand why people aren't doing more research. I have nothing against medicine. I have nothing against vaccines, but I just feel like people like Ken are running out the door to get this. Like they just, you know, won the lottery for Masters tickets or Springsteen tickets. And it's a serious thing. I mean, people should go on the CDC website and look at it. I mean, this is the CDC. This is the last thing they want you to see because they're making money from the vaccine. And when you drill down, there's actually a narrative for each death and each incident and they're horrible deaths. These are people that are not dying in their sleep.
Is this the same CDC that told us we had to disinfect everything, every surface, and then now today they just said you don't have to disinfect anything?
Same one.
Are those now? Is that accurate information with regard to the deaths? I don't want anybody to be reporting inaccurate.
Let's
information.
Get Bill's doctor on the line. He's good information.
Didn't the CDC have on their website that you know for women that might be looking to get pregnant you shouldn't really take this because they don't know if this could affect
you. Impossible.
I don't think that was on their website.
Well, I mean, you know.
Well, no, if you're the thing is when it comes to thinking of getting pregnant, the vaccine has only been given out for the last 2 months.
Right.
So there would be no data available on that.
But that's different.
The lack of data is what's nervous. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily that there is any like particular thing they can find and say this might affect a pregnancy. It's just that. I mean, there's so many things that can affect your body in a pregnancy that it's probably pretty smart to wait.
Doesn't the flu kill people?
Yes.
So then why don't you get the flu shot every year? So why doesn't everybody get it?
It's less deadly and less communicable.
Well, but it's still deadly, right?
Yeah.
Yes. This is Paul. Hello, Paul.
Good morning, gentlemen, ladies, and Wiggy. My first ever. I have to rip Wiggy real quick because Wiggy. You have the unfortunate advantage of having a different cultural and literal experience, so your wisdom and insight is on point. However, this time, point one, a lady in Barnstable tested positive in February for the Indian double. It's called the second mutation. It's easier to catch. So if you don't like to have the vaccination, like you don't like bringing a gun in a court or yelling fire in a theater, you're creating what's called extenuating circumstances and risk to the general public, us and your kids. So stay home if you want to be Carl Crabb and be a hermit and not get other people infected. We're not imposing on your right. It's, in fact, opposite. Due to unseen for circumstances, this never-before-worst pandemic creates a different type of rules, bud. Don't you feel responsibility? And, of course, we love you. We don't want you to get sick and leave us with just Danielle and Greg.
And of course, the man himself.
We don't have Danielle anymore. Danielle's already gone.
It would just be great.
And I got COVID before, and I was sick for a few days, and you know, my wife got it, my kids got it, and I was fine.
You kicked that COVID's ass.
That's right.
Ken, did you make sure that Courtney Cox had her shot before you were canoodling at the game last night?
Wasn't at the game. That's more fake news by you.
All right, we got to take a break. We will be back momentarily here with Tanya Rae Fox, who is today's guest host. It's guest host week number 3 at WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.